In the name of the one who has come to seek and to save the lost. Amen. Here's a song I remember, words only. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed into a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Who doesn't love this story of a little man who climbed a tree to see Jesus? We all know what it's like when you can't see through the crowds. Many of us remember this story from Sunday school and know it like the back of our hand. But do we? Because there are some surprises in store. Let's begin with the tax collectors, or publicans, as they were called in older translations. There's a word that's changed its meaning. They often appear in the company of Jesus, to the consternation of respectable citizens. Now imagine Britain was occupied by a foreign power which was hated, and that power employed some of your fellow countrymen to collect taxes from you. You would probably disapprove of them, to say the least. The tax collectors of the Gospels were mostly Jewish, but worked for the Roman government. They weren't paid, so they earned their living by adding a surcharge to the tax that was owed, which made them doubly unpopular. They were at best collaborators, at worst traitors. They spent a lot of time with Gentiles, so were likely to be ritually unclean. Matthew, the Gospel writer, was one of those people. Jesus told a powerful parable about a tax collector and a Pharisee at prayer, which we explored last week. And now we have Zacchaeus, who isn't just any old tax collector. He's at the top of the tree of his profession and very rich. He may have climbed the tree because he was small, but I doubt he would have felt comfortable in a crowd. He was used to being disliked and ostracized. Like the parable, this is another story unique to Luke, who tells us that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. It's a very human reaction. Someone famous is passing through your town, you've heard about them, and you want to have a look. There are no galleries of photos on websites for you to check out. The only way is to go in person. But the crowds mean you can't see a thing. So you find a tree. It isn't the sycamore, like the one in my neighbour's garden, which produces hundreds of seedlings all over mine, which I have to spend hours pulling out every spring. And I miss quite a lot. Before you know where you are, you've got half a sycamore tree growing in your garden. No, it's the sycamore fig, a large fruit-bearing tree. Plenty of room for a little man to hide unnoticed, you'd think. He's only there to gawp, get down, go back to his well-appointed home and his lucrative business. There are plenty of people, maybe we're like that too, who'd like to have a look at Jesus from a safe distance and then go home and carry on as usual. And here is Jesus saying to them and to us, hurry up, come down, I'm going to stay with you. We probably wouldn't take kindly to someone inviting themselves like that without prior notice. But Zacchaeus does as he's told and is delighted to welcome his unexpected guest. No doubt he's got plenty of servants to do all the work. Even so, Perhaps he was flattered. After all, Jesus had chosen him rather than more deserving candidates. He must certainly have been surprised. The lesson is obvious, isn't it? Zacchaeus is so moved by the fact that Jesus has not only noticed him but reached out to him, that he makes a vow to leave behind his greedy ways, give half his wealth to the poor, and pay anyone he has defrauded four times over. Jesus tells the onlookers that salvation has come to this house. He has come to seek and to save the lost, Zacchaeus presumably among them. So the conclusion we draw is that when we stop observing Jesus from a safe distance and let him come close to us, our lives are changed for the good. We stop being selfish and acquisitive, become conscious of our obligations to other people, and generous in our self-giving. The cynic might say, Zacchaeus can well afford to do what he has promised because it will cause him no hardship. And in any case, we don't know that he did any of it. Maybe it was a promise made in the heat of the moment, and once he got back to counting his profits, he was rather less keen to give them away. But the Jesus of Luke certainly associates what has happened with a change for the better. Interesting that Jesus appears to know who Zacchaeus is, because he calls him by name. And he doesn't look sternly at him and call him a cheat and a sinner in the way that preachers might. The only people who do that are the bystanders, the other people in the crowd, who complain, and not for the first time, about the company Jesus chooses to keep. He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Instead, Jesus invites himself, reaches out to this unpopular man, and gives Zacchaeus the opportunity to respond in the way he does, happily and honorably. That's the traditional way of reading the story. But there is another way, and it all depends on one word and how you translate it, the Greek word didomi, which I spoke about earlier. In the present tense, referring not to a one-off action, but to one which is repeated. The New Revised Standard Version translates it as, I will give. And the one we heard said, here and now I give. But these are both interpretations based on the conventional idea that the encounter with Jesus has changed Zacchaeus. Other translations hedge their bets and read simply, I give. The other way of reading the story depends on leaving the verb in the present tense and paying close attention to the narrative sequence. And it goes like this. The promise Zacchaeus makes isn't one he will do in response to his encounter with Jesus, but his reply to those who have just called him a sinner. He is telling them that he's not as bad as they think, that he gives half his income to the poor and recompenses anyone he has defrauded four times over. In other words, he's trying to do the right thing in a difficult situation. And it's that fact that prompts Jesus to respond that salvation has come to this house today and add crucially the reason, because he too is a son of Abraham. What Zacchaeus does with his wealth shows that he has understood what it means to be part of God's people, and even though he is despised for the job he does, he has as much right as his critics to belong to that community. He isn't lost because he's avaricious, but because the people who call him a sinner have shut him out. Just as the Pharisee in the parable does to the praying tax collector. The mission of Jesus is to restore him to his community and show the community that it, not Zacchaeus, needs to change its attitudes. Contrast this with the rich young ruler who a few verses earlier in the gospel went away with a heavy heart when Jesus told him that to enter into eternal life he had to give away all his wealth. The young man isn't even willing to consider it, whereas Zacchaeus is already halfway there. So here we have two different readings, depending on whether you translate the Greek word didomi as I will give or I give. In the first, it's Zacchaeus who makes amends for his previous wrongdoing. And in the second, it's his critics who need to understand that he's as much a part of the community as they are. Which is right? Maybe we don't need to choose, since they are both embodying truths from the gospel. That when Jesus touches our lives with his love, we are called to re-examine our lives and respond in generous ways. And that when people of faith begin to decide who's in and who's out, who's a sinner and who isn't, Jesus shows them that God's love is broader than they could ever imagine because it does not operate according to the distinctions that they make. In both interpretations, Zacchaeus has to come down from the tree to receive his unexpected guest, which he does not grudgingly, but gladly. And that's the first sign that his spirit is right. And in both cases, the story demonstrates the mission of Jesus to seek and to save those who are lost, whether through their own actions or because they have been labelled unacceptable by polite society. We all feel lost sometimes. First day at a new school or college, beginning a new job. How well I remember sitting at my desk on my first day as university chaplain at the University of Sussex, wondering what on earth I was supposed to be doing. 11 years later, I kind of knew. Other experiences are more searching. We can feel lost when things we once took to be true don't seem to make sense anymore. The ending of a significant relationship or the experience of bereavement when the whole world changes in an instant can leave us reeling. And it's not just individuals. Jesus once spoke with compassion about the crowds he saw, like sheep without a shepherd. I sometimes feel like that about our own society. People look to charlatans and conspiracy theorists or so-called influencers peddling the latest fads in the hope that they'll find an answer to the emptiness they feel inside. Some people are so lost that they can only escape the pain of living through drugs, which will in the end destroy them. Others are so lost that they think it appropriate to kill someone they've had an argument with or simply don't like, or go on a stabbing spree on a train, as happened yesterday evening. If we feel sometimes that we or even our society have lost our way, spare a thought and a prayer for people who suffer violence on a mass scale, the victims of those who are so lost that they think it justified to slaughter innocent people. The Son of Man came to seek out and to save those who are lost. That defines the church's mission, to reach out to people who can't find their way, and to bring isolated individuals into the community of grace. Jesus says to us, as he does to Zacchaeus, "I must stay at your house today." Don't keep a safe distance. Come down from your perch and let me heal what hurts and kindle such a fire in your hearts as will bring light and warmth to all those left out in the dark and cold. Do so gladly, for there's no compulsion here, only the grace and love of God and the gentle power of the Holy Spirit helping you to become the child of God you were born to be. You will learn Christ's way of generosity and openness, and you will welcome those who feel excluded from God's love as fellow members of Christ's family. And then, in the company of others who are on the same journey, you too will become healers of hurt and keepers of the flame. Amen.